All right, I'm going to call the continued Section 341 meeting for Haddad Design and Construction Incorporated, case number 24-33277. Today is September 18th, 2024. It is 2 o'clock p.m. I'll start by taking appearances again. Mr. Haddock, can you announce your appearance for the record?
Yes, William Haddock.
Okay, and Mr. and Mrs. Haddad?
Yes, I'm here.
Say your name.
Lauren Haddad, and I'm here for Haddad Design and Construction as a corporate representative.
Is Elias here today or no?
Yes.
Okay. So, Elias, you need to say your name for the record as well.
Elias Haddad.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, do we have any creditors on the line today who wish to ask questions?
This is Lee King, and I'm here. I just got roped into this. I have many questions for Ms. Clay. It's our client.
Okay. Anybody else intending to ask questions today?
Owen McGovern.
Owen McGovern. All right. All right. Anybody else?
This is Graham Lisa Johnston, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Anita Lenore Urban. I may have questions. Lenore Urban, I may have questions.
Okay, I got you, Ms. Urban. Okay.
Paige Mosher, possibly.
Paige Mosher, all right. All right.
Did you get my name, Anita?
Wait, I got Anita Urban. Who was this?
No, Anita at Tucson. S-O-N.
And it was Lenora Urban.
Lenora Urban.
N-O-R-A. Lenora Urban.
Okay. Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Haddad, I need to swear you back in for today's meeting. Could you please raise your right hand and let me know when you've done so? Okay, do you each swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
I do.
All right, thank you. You may lower your hand, and y'all are both under oath for the remainder of the meeting. Now, at the last meeting, I believe there were some discussions about y'all having, you know, essentially funding the, was it a tobacco business from the startup money for it? All would have come from Haddad Design, and y'all were supposed to amend your SOFA, I believe, to include all money taken out of the business over the last year, right?
Yes, we've been working on that, and I finally got a number that they've been working on going through bank statements and everything that we can put into the amended schedules.
Yeah, so it's going to be really difficult. We're not going to be able to conclude the meeting.
There's a lot of supporting paperwork, too, that can be...
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm just saying we can't really conclude the meeting as long as we know that there are outstanding amendments that need to be made. Okay, so my question, since no amendments have been made, my questions are going to be pretty limited today. We only have one operating report filed so far in the case, and it looked like there was no real activity in the debtor during July. So an August report hasn't been filed yet. So my question is, did this debtor operate during August?
We did.
And do you have?
I don't think we had any sales or anything from what my recollection is. We haven't done the report because it's due this Friday. But I think our movement started happening in September.
Yeah, anybody can reference that you have gotten some payments for it.
We've deposited $57,000, what we believe is that was all done in September. I don't want to say 100% because it could have come in the last couple of days of August, some of it, but I do believe it's all done. Actually, I think it's all September. Yes.
That's fine. I mean, I'm not going to hold you to it if you're a day or two off here. Now, I know at the last meeting, there were also a lot of individual creditors who wanted to know about their specific jobs being done. So have y'all been doing jobs for people that were clients of Haddad pre-bankruptcy petition?
We have not done anybody that is in the bankruptcy. No, we were told that we should wait and and get through a financial plan before we make those decisions. We've had clients reach out to us wanting to move forward with their project, majority of them. And so we're trying to come up with who, what, when, and where, because I believe everybody has to be treated fairly and equally. So we're trying to figure that out, I think, right, to work up with the financial plan. That's my understanding.
Okay, so I believe you said $57,000. That would be for new money taken in for work projects that you've sold during the case.
This is new business that would have been generated since the bankruptcy, and then they would be delivered. They're not in the bankruptcy.
Okay.
So this is the reorganization.
Now so at the end of August, or end of July, rather, there was $100, it looked like, in the bank account. You're not taking money out of the business right now, right?
The only thing that's coming out of the business is the payment for the material purchased on any job, and those are getting delivered to the property immediately.
Right.
Anybody that purchased. Because those jobs are getting turned around, so we know what the profit on those jobs are so that they can be applied towards the financial planning for the customers that were prior for the bankruptcy.
So how are you paying your personal living expenses right now without drawing any salary from the business?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm selling my personal purses or clothes or on third-party sites and stuff like that to be able to pay. My house is not being paid. My cars are not being paid. We don't really have any bills because we haven't paid anything. Everything we have goes to the business. So for food or electricity or minimum things like that, that's us selling personal items to be able to cover it.
Okay, I'm not going to have any more questions for today. I need to see amended schedules, but I'm going to give the creditors an opportunity to ask questions if they want to. And I am going to qualify that statement by saying, creditors, we are not going to ask about when our individual job is going to get done. Okay? So with that being said, I'm going to go down the list. Mr. King, do you have any questions for the debtors at this time? All right, Mr. McGovern. Mr. Johnson.
I'm sorry, this is McGovern.
Okay, Mr. McGovern, did you have any questions for the debtors today?
Yes. You already covered it a little bit, but I want to just make sure I understood it correctly. Have they been continuing to operate the business since Chapter 11 and money and
we
have expenditures?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, you should. You can answer that.
Yes.
We're in a reorganization, not a liquidation, so it's our job to continue to operate and try to rebuild the business to create an income to be able to pay for the job or refunds, etc., financial planning. Right.
And not for KBD, but for the trustee, is that a standard approach for this kind of thing, for the business continues to operate before they have a reorg plan in place?
It sounded like you were asking me that question. We don't answer questions at the meeting of creditors. This is for you to question the debtor.
Okay. then work for the debtor. For the debtor, then so if you have not been performing any work for any creditors since the Chapter 11 was filed on July 18th.
We have not paid to provide anybody's job since the, July 18th. Anybody that's doing their job, they're doing it on their own. They're not.
And are you spending money on other resources, such as marketing the business, paying contractors to do work? Sorry, did you hear
me?
We are
not marketing the business. We are not marketing the business.
So all the websites and such are not up at this point?
They are up, but they have a SEO business that would be generated organically through the last 10 to 11 years of operation. So they would still generate leads, but it wouldn't cost money.
I apologize. I was on mute for some reason. Did you catch all my statements? This is Grant Johnston. Okay. Did you guys catch my full speech? I apologize.
Well, I don't think we heard any of your statement. We were still listening to Mr. McGovern's questions, right?
Yeah. Oh, my bad. So, yeah, I must have muted him. I'm sorry. So, yeah, whenever I can come back, that'd be great.
Yeah. Did Mr. McGovern have another question? Sorry, we got a little distracted there.
Yeah, I guess I have a question of how do we separate the money from current projects and spending and income from previous projects and spending that were going on? How does that get separated? And how does it change again once we get the reorg plan?
I'm not a lawyer, and I personally can't advise that, but all I can say is that we are, whatever job organically comes from us, they're being performed, and the profit margins are staying in the debtor in possession account, which will go towards financial planning for making all these jobs right that you guys have, not being used for anything else.
So are you still requiring payment up front for all jobs for the business?
I don't think that that's relevant here, but no. The account that we work with is being managed by the trustees and our lawyers. So they watch absolutely everything that happens there. And we are abiding by the guidelines of the bankruptcy.
Okay, I'm done.
All right, Mr. Johnson.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
So, yeah, so I'm just asking a bunch of us in the same situation where we had to move on after 20 weeks with no kitchen, and we talked to Cambria, and we talked to a couple of the subcontractors in the tile place, and they had no credit, so we weren't going to get anything done. So we had to move forward, and we had to fire Celeste and the group after 20 weeks of no kitchen, and we had to move on with another contractor. So my question is, I sent the demand letter. Where do we sit with that? Because there are several of us on this phone call or that have been in groups that are wondering, you know, where's the money? And where did the money get deposited to initially? Because I don't know if that's a part of the law. I'm not a lawyer, but if it went to somebody's personal bank account, I mean, I got the back of the check and where it went, but it just didn't. I just want to know where we sit in this bankruptcy, because I paid $38,000 and basically got a kitchen gutted. And that's it. I had to pay for everything else. I had to pay for tile. I basically had to repay for someone else to come in and deliver cabinets because my chamber told me my stuff would never be because Celeste owed money there. So, and I guess, are they still marketing? Are they still marketing Cambria? Because Cambria says they don't have any credit. So it's, where do we...
Can I answer those questions? The first thing is that's absolutely not true that we don't have credit with Cambria. And we set you up with Cambria and an installer to be able to help you. We were trying to do what we could to make it right. They actually dropped off samples of the new product just last week, so we're in good standing with Cambria to answer your question. And
you're not
on top of that, okay, whatever you think, okay, that's absolutely wrong. You can talk to the distributor and the manager of the Cambria station. Okay, it's irrelevant. I just want to answer the questions. All monies that were ever issued to the company were deposited into the corporate account always in the payment. You've been through bankruptcy, your personal self, as you disclosed to me, and that was a couple of years ago, and things that were similar to happening to us happened to you and are happening to you now, so I think you know how this bankruptcy works, so through our financial planning, they'll be able to make those arrangements with you of how to be compensated.
So you're telling me I will be compensated, that's what you're saying?
Absolutely, that's why we're in Chapter 11 reorganization. We are trying to make amends with every single client that we have, and we are continuing operations.
I guess my question is, how many clients are there, and will you guys share the money outstanding? Because I was on the last call.
That's not something I'm privy to disclose in this meeting. If it's in the schedule, it's something like you could be able to see, but I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay.
Generally, look at Schedule G and the exhibits in Schedule G. List all of the current open jobs.
All right, Mr. Johnson, did you have any other questions?
Yeah. No, I guess I'm good. I just don't know. I don't see a path forward to this, to be honest with you. But I will wait and see. Not the right wording, but yeah. It's like when will the financial people tell people that your money and how does it go? Is it first in, first out? Or if you look and talk to people, I know it's a lot of money. Is it like first in, first out? All of our profit basically goes directly to the.
No, that's not even the way it works. The debtor gets to propose a plan in bankruptcy. They have flexibility to propose whatever plan they want to propose, and then y'all get to vote on it. But I can tell you it's not going to be first in, first out, because there's going to be a class of creditors, and everybody within the class will be treated similarly.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Do you know how many classes there will be?
The debtor's going to craft a plan, and we'll file the plan. The debtor has, another month or so to file a plan.
Yeah, we have to file a plan by October 16th, I believe. Yeah, October 16th.
All right. Ms. Urban.
Nothing at the time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Mosier.
Hi, I think it's already been answered by Celeste. I was wanting to know if we could, instead of receiving goods and services, if we could get a refund. And I think she answered that. Is that correct, Celeste? We're still working with our attorneys and the financial planning. They're going to reach out to everyone and come up with a plan. And yes, we can do a refund in lieu of the product. That's something you want to work on. We'll discuss that. I haven't called you because we needed to get through the financial, this conversation prior. So I didn't ignore your request to call you. Okay. Thank you so much.
And I think we had one more creditor. Was it Miss Susan or?
Anita Susan?
Susan, yeah.
I represent Maxine Rufshan, and I think she is similarly situated to a number of other creditors in that there's litigation against the kitchen and bath with respect to, similarly to what another creditor said, pay the money and the job is unfinished, and she's had to move on. So how do you plan to address the claims that are in litigation.
Hi, ma'am. This is Celeste. So I'm very familiar with Maxine Rikushan's job, and she's owed a secondary of bathroom. And if she's moved on, we'll be happy to work with her on a refund of that secondary bathroom, her kitchen, her living room. Everything else has been done. So we'll be happy to work with you guys on that.
I work with you. You're saying refund?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And when y'all talk about, you said earlier that everybody would be compensated, that doesn't necessarily mean 100 cents on the dollar, correct?
I don't know how that works, but it's our intention to do the absolutely very best that we can, and we're working all day, every day to reorganize. And however long and whatever this takes, we're going to make it right.
And how do you anticipate that, essentially, in order for a company to go bankrupt, theoretically, something went wrong? So have you spent any time analyzing? Okay, so can you give us a little background on that?
On the first call, we went over that, but hold on one second, I'll be happy to go over that with you. If that's something I'm supposed to answer, I don't know, trustee, is it okay for me to answer that?
I mean, if you want to, but I think you could just summarize it much more briefly than was done at the first
summary.
Meeting. Yeah, the first meeting kind of dragged on.
What happened in the past, my goal is, if you say that you were going to reorganize, what assurances do we have as creditors that what you're going to do is going to be different so that refunds, et cetera, will actually get paid?
Absolutely.
And let me just kind of add to this. When we put together a plan, and some of this is just up in the air, but, you know, we're going to have projections about, what's going to get paid and when. And also, part of this is that we're going to have in the plan, certain provisions that creditors can invoke if there's a default and making payments and that sort of thing. So when that plan gets filed and circulated to all the parties, you all can be able to see exactly what we're talking about. Additionally, there would be a limited amount of time, where if there's something, some particular language or something that you're looking for in the plan or whatever, we can, try to get that, added to it and amend the plan.
Okay.
But I have those answers for you. Just give me one second. I'm just writing a couple thoughts down. Okay, I'm going to tell you what played a part in the demise, and I'll tell you what we changed as we go through it, okay? Okay, the first thing was is that the installers frequently overcharged for the production and insisted on upfront payments before the project was completed, like during the project, often failing to return to finish the work, but yet we know the assistant that was running the projects and stuff, he wasn't on top of it, Jonathan, and he had personal issues, but he was telling us it was done, we were paying, and we would pay, and then we would have to send out several installers to try to do the exact same job. And then also the relationship with our customer would be compromised by the installer going out there because we don't do plumbing, electrical, and gas, and they did that directly for our client. And so through that process, whatever relationship happened, or if they upset the client, it could make it look negative towards our contract. So that's just one thing. It says installers deem projects complete, but the customer complained about unfinished work. Installers demand additional payments to return despite being fully compensated for the original scope. Again, paying it again. The former project superintendent failed to adequately typically oversee the project and resulted in poor management. Consumers frequently initiated chargebacks through our finance companies and credit card companies early on while the projects were in progress or even finished, leading to unexpected financial losses only discovered upon the completion of the project. Customer allowed project to near completion, then claimed the work was not done correctly. The installer did not return to make the project right in their mind and demanding costly redo efforts at no additional charges, causing significant financial strain. Installers over-ordering material and failed to return the unused products and leaving them on the job site and using them on their own personal jobs, leading to unnecessary expenses. Installers received sufficient material to complete their tasks but claimed shortages and then wanting to reorder more materials. This was unforeseen additional costs. Customers insisted on items, and this is not everyone, but this is just some people. Customers insisted on including items in their remodels that were not part of their original contract and refused to pay for those extra things. And if they did not receive them, then they would want us, they would fire us, or they would tell us they would give us bad reviews. So we were without choice but to provide those things to finish the job and close the contract. Installers and former employees diverted new projects away from the company and existing projects from the company, failing to report the customer's inquiries while using the company's resources without their authorization. So our installers would go to the project, start with the plumbing, electrical, and gas. Maybe it's their sub or it's them. And then they would suggest to the client that they could do the project for half the price. Why wouldn't they just fire us? Therefore, we started getting lawsuits, and they would be doing the job behind our backs.
Wow.
And that's where it comes in. I'm almost there. Installers encouraged customers to cancel the contracts with the company, offering to complete the job at half the price, resulting in significant financial losses. Customers attempted to cancel the project despite no cancellation policy. Then filed lawsuits claiming the installer had begun the work and partially electric and gas before the company could start, leaving the company without any profits. Installers charge customers directly for the plumbing, electrical, and gas services not offered by the company, often failing to complete the work and causing additional damages to the customer's relationship with our company. And the company was held responsible for those costs and repairs and jumped in many times to make the relationship right and cover those costs to fix the things that the installers had left. The installers repeatedly scheduled to work but failed to show up, frustrating the customers, the project managers, and leading them to cancel their projects. Negative customer reviews severely impacted the company's ability to attract new business. Marketing costs increased more than four times significantly to after COVID and in the last year to maintain the flow of new projects. So there was a bidding war on PPC on Google. So the same cost that we would pay for a click at $5 would cost us $35. So we've had a substantial marketing cost expense. Compounding with customers' lawsuits and actions for the customers, former attorneys forced the company to settle disputes for amounts equal to or exceeding the project values, regardless of the completion stage, making day-to-day operations financially unsustainable. Now, what have we done to change it? We got rid of every one of those installers. We got rid of the project manager. We've cut down every overhead that we could possibly do. We're bringing in our new projects with SEO, which is something that we're not paying for the marketing. Interest rates are supposed to drop here in the next week, so that's making the financing more favorable for clients to be able to accept jobs, because that was part of the failure too, because they were kicking out 12 to 30% interest rates. People would walk away from the job and not be able to do it because they didn't want to pay that rate. And so now we are working on getting that financing back, and we only have our main store. We don't have the Stone Yard anymore, and we are turning our turn cycles quickly, and we don't have salary employees. We don't have any overheads except the rent. Valentino works in the store at bare minimum cost, and the turn cycles are going fast, which means you're having more profit margins. It just means that we have to do more jobs and keep the cost down without getting, meaning us, myself, Elias, we're running all the jobs ourselves, so we don't have to trust anybody moving forward. Does that answer the question?
If that's how you intend to keep it, is a much smaller,
extremely smaller. Extreme organization, downsizing, and not spending on marketing the way that we had before. Marketing is substantial to be able to keep a company like this going. So now we went from spending $25,000 minimum a month on marketing to we're spending nothing, but organically we're getting the business. However, the negative reviews from past clients is affecting us to reorganize to be able to make this right. And so our intentions are to have conversations with them so that we all understand that we're on the same team. We're trying to make this right. And in order to make this right, we have to reorganize.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions?
Because
I have a quick question.
Well, I don't know who you. I don't know who that was, but you don't. You're not running the meeting. It's my meeting. So,
until, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Hey, this is Ross Travis from the U.S. Trustee's office. Y'all shouldn't be asked telling people, you know, that we're going to move on if they don't have any more questions. My meeting, Miss Suzanne. Do you have any more questions? Okay, did you have any more questions for the debtor?
No.
Okay, one quick question from me. Celeste, you mentioned that there was rent that needed to be paid on a monthly basis. Has the debtor paid any rent during the case?
Yes, sir.
When was that paid?
We had to continue to pay it, otherwise we would be evicted from the property and reorganization would not be an option. Well,
was no rent due in August?
Yes, it was.
Well, did you pay the August rent?
I did, and I did it by selling my personal items.
How much is the monthly rent? Okay.
They're in the rears with us, so because of COVID, so the rent's about $8,000, I think, but we paid $2,000 towards when COVID had hit us.
Because you're essentially catching up on old rent. Okay. So, I mean, I guess how much rent is outstanding pre-petition?
Well, $82,178.14.
Okay.
But we've been there like almost 11 years, so he's working with us, and we have a very good, strong relationship with him.
All right, do we have any more creditors that have questions for the Haddads?
I have a question, Elizabeth Horner.
Go for it, Ms. Horner.
We gave you a deposit because you said you needed to secure a cabinet maker, and we want to know what happened to our money.
It was deposited into the business account, and it went for overheads and payment, and I don't have your file in front of me, but I believe that yours was customized, if I'm not mistaken. You told us that it was just the cabinet maker, Carlos. We have the cabinet maker, and that's plywood, and, I mean, that's still the case. We don't have a problem with that, but we have to make it, right?
It was custom cabinet.
But at this time, so... Right, it would have to be custom made. It's not any custom, so we never made it to that point because we received a receivership, and so we had to go into a Chapter 11 to protect all of our.
This happened in March. So you still told us that our money was going directly to the cabinet maker. So,
correct. Well,
yeah, and so we never saw the cabinet maker. Okay,
it's and carpenter. Well,
okay, but we never saw the carpenter.
Yeah, right, because you
we were scheduled to be installed.
And
we were scheduled to be installed on April 15th.
So, and then it was pushed back.
It was pushed back. So, we also were curious to know about what percentage of the money do Adrian and Jonathan get? How do they get paid?
They don't. A lot of times they didn't get paid because there were no sales, there was no money. And so they continued to work past the time that there was money available to pay them. But when Jonathan was getting paid, he was getting paid $2,500 a week to manage the project. And Adrian worked on a design basis based off of whatever she was able to design if it was purchased. If they didn't purchase, then she wasn't compensated.
Okay, great.
All right, anybody else?
In the end, at least a month to 2 months into it, they were not receiving payments.
Okay, anybody, any other creditors with questions?
I have a question. My name is Stephen Tate. Can I ask a question, please?
Go for it.
I wanted to know how the creditors can be made aware of any calls like this or any new developments like what's going to happen after the planning takes place in, I guess, the middle of October or so. Is there some type of platform or notification we're going to get about what is going to happen once these plans or this plan takes place?
All right, well, how did you know about today's meeting? Did you get something in the mail?
I did not get anything in the mail. I just happened to be with the group chat, and one of them happened to mention that there may be a phone call today. I also would like to know, because I don't think I got your exact email address, if I could get that. It would be helpful to know what is going on, when it's going on,
all
right, so that we can be made aware of it. Otherwise, at least I feel left in the dark.
Well, you're not supposed to be left in the dark, certainly. You're supposed to get notice of 341 meetings, of a plan when it's filed. I'm going to check the list of creditors really fast and see if you're listed.
Okay.
And you said your last name was Tate? Was that
the name is Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Tate, T as in Thomas, A, T as in Thomas, E. I did send in a proof of claim.
Are you at 2202 Calypso Bay Drive?
I am.
you're listed on the list of creditors. You should be getting mail anytime there's a, like when I set this 341 meeting, you should have got a notice of that. You should get a copy of the plan when it's balloted. I mean, it looks like the debtor has you listed. I don't know why you wouldn't get notice of the meeting. But you can also register, I believe. Somebody said you could register for a guest PACER account, and you could track the case docket on PACER.
Yeah, but I do understand that, but I would like another means of being notified.
There is no other means of being notified. That's the way bankruptcy works. I'm not going to sit here. You know, I can't notify everybody in a case of these things. So, I mean, if people email me wanting updates, I'm not going to be able to respond to that. That's just not the way bankruptcy works.
Okay.
Mr. Tate.
Yes.
This is Owen McGovern. We don't get anything in the mail. The only thing we get is from the chat, and if I go online to PACER, we would like to get the notifications in the mail. I don't know why we're not getting them.
Grant and Lisa Johnson are in the same boat. No, nothing in the mail.
Agreed. Juan and Johnson
Figueredo,
nothing in the mail also.
So how did y'all know about the first meeting of creditors?
The first meeting of creditors we got in the mail, but nothing after that one.
For a continued meeting, you may not get a mailing. You would have to check, somebody would have to check the docket, because I don't believe that gets mailed out.
For the filing.
When they file a plan, you will be ballot. The debtor's going to have to send you a copy of the plan and ballot
by
you.
By mail?
By mail.
By mail?
It will be done by mail.
Okay, this is David Tate again. I still wanted to hear what Celeste was going to say. I think she was going to say something. Celeste, did you have something you're going to say, unless I misheard you?
Well, what was your question to her? Because I think you were asking about notice.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
What was the question?
I thought I heard you say something.
I mean, there's an open line of communication. If there's something going on, I mean,
just,
I'm available.
Just re-ask your question, Mr. Tate.
I'd be happy to notify. I think that was what I was trying to say.
Okay. I
What's
don't think
number?
I have any... I'm sorry.
I have the business line, and that's where if somebody needs to text, please keep it to a text so we can track the communication so that we can be on the same page and there's no misconceptions or misrepresentations just for that reason. But I'm happy to let anyone know. Certainly, we're here for resolution.
Okay, I don't think I have any other questions. I appreciate the help with clarification of notification, and hopefully all of us can be notified of any future calls through that group chat and move towards getting this resolved.
Okay.
I have a follow-up.
Well, I don't know what group chat that is.
Yeah,
you're
not on that. Ignore that. That's not a question. All right. We need to limit our questions here. This is a 341 meeting. It's supposed to be about, you know, what's on the debtor schedules or questions related to the debtor's current financial situation. We're not going to be digging into the details of each individual job. That's not overly relevant in a bankruptcy case. And we've wasted like 5 hours so far on this case. So, yep. So, do any creditors still have questions about the debtor's current financial condition and not when their job is going to get done?
Yes. This is a question I have about an expectation for the reorg plan. And it's just basically, should we anticipate prior to October 16th that we will get a call to discuss the reorg plan, or the portion that's related to us in the reorg plan? That would be for either the trustee or KBD to answer.
Well, that's, you don't, the trustee doesn't have any answer. That, I mean, it's up to a debtor.
Every
try to talk to everybody, but it's going to be hard to talk to everybody at the same time. So, but we have a hard deadline to file a plan of reorganization.
I'm just questioning, prior to us making that plan, will we have time to talk to everybody to see their position to be able to make that plan? Yes. So we will be talking to you prior to making that plan to see what everyone's position is to put that plan together.
Okay. And what I thought I heard earlier was that a refund is one of the possibilities that we could request for that versus having the project completed. Is that what you said to us?
Yeah.
And when you say make things right, okay, because we covered this already, the intention is to get everybody either 100% refund or 100% job complete. Correct.
Is this
November? Yes.
Is this Mr. McGovern? Okay,
yes.
I don't know how that works, and that's why I have counsel. So I have to lean on their intelligence, not mine. I'm just here, ready, willing, and able, and trying to do whatever I need to do. They will advise, and we will discuss all that individually, I guess, client by client.
But that will be before the 16th or after the 16th of October?
I believe that's before the 16th.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Celeste, this is Jocelyn Figueredo. How will we be notified from y'all?
We're going to call you. I believe we're going to call you on the phone, right? We're going to call you on the phone. We're going to call you on the phone and have that discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Anita Susan. Can I ask a question of the bankruptcy trustee, or you don't answer questions?
I can't answer questions about the debtor. If you want to ask about how you're going to get notice or something, just ask away. What's the question?
In general, my understanding of the way it works is whether they talk to the creditors before or not, once a plan is proposed, the creditors have a chance to file objections, and then there's probably another meeting.
Of course.
After that, to talk about those objections.
Well, it's called a confirmation hearing. Your objections would be heard at a confirmation hearing.
Right, and don't you make a recommendation on the plan, whether to confirm or not confirm?
Well, we don't really make a recommendation on whether to confirm or not confirm. I mean, that's done in Chapter 13 cases. You might have a subchapter. You'll have a subchapter 5 trustee who would recommend confirmation or not. But our office objects to plans as well. I mean, so we may have an objection. We may not. I mean, there's no plan, so we can't say one way or the other. But that's just the way the system works, right? If there's something we see in a plan that's objectionable, we would file an objection. But we're never going to show up to court and support a plan.
Sure, since I'm only familiar with Chapter
13. Right. Yeah, we're not the trustee like in a Chapter 13 case. We're called the United States trustee. We're here in an oversight capacity, but we're not recommending confirmation like a 13 trustee would.
Okay. So yours is much more of a referee type role or umpire, not a...
Well, really the judge is like an umpire. We evaluate plans to see whether they comply with the code. It's really that easy.
Right.
All right. Any more questions for the debtor's rep? All right. Hearing no more questions, the debtors still need to file amended schedules. We're going to have to continue the meeting again. I'm going to have to check the calendar to find an available time. I will post another docket entry. So if you want to know when the next meeting is, check the docket. With that, Mr. and Mrs. Haddad, you're no longer under oath. I'll see you all at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.